12, verses 12 to 19. The next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the Lord, the King of Israel." Then Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat on it, as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written about him, and that they had done these things to him. Therefore, the people who were with him when he called Lazarus out of his tomb and raised him from the dead bore witness. For this reason, the people also met him, because they heard that he had done this sign. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, "You see that you are accomplishing nothing. Look, the world has gone after him. Look, the world has gone after him." Let us pray, please. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the opportunity to study your word. Thank you that you are present with us today. We pray, Lord God Almighty, that you will have your total way amongst us. Even as we pray you will take authority. We pray you will lead us, you will guide us. And Lord, help us to grasp onto what you have for us. Holy Spirit, I pray your clarity. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will help me to teach your word and make meaning to your people, O Lord, that they might go away with what they need today to live for you. We need you, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, we need your presence in our life, your teaching in our life, your abilities in our life. So have your way this morning, we pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. And so, as I said before, I'm speaking on the subject, the Father's Lamb. The Father's Lamb. Other passages, when you read, will have the title Triumphal Entry. This passage basically talks of how Jesus entered into Jerusalem to go and face his death. It talks of Jesus in marvelous ways, how unique he is, and how he was going to face his death boldly. He went into Jerusalem knowing very well that they were going to kill him, but yet still, our King, our Lord, our Savior, our mighty Lord went boldly into Jerusalem to go face his accusers and to die the pardonable death for you and I. And so when you look in this passage, verses 12 to 16, the crowd greets Jesus as a coming king. This is what it writes. It says, when Jesus was now entering into Jerusalem, basically, if you look at the passages I had last week, I spoke on Lazarus and all that. Jesus had finished this miracle, and Lazarus, he had stayed in Lazarus' house, he had eaten with them and all that. And the next day, being the Passover, he is now entering into Jerusalem to go celebrate the Passover too. But this is what the word of God says. The next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast. This Passover feast was people from all around, and majority of people also from Galilee had come. When they came with lamps According to Jewish culture, when you study Exodus chapter 12, 3 to 6, God told them before, in the olden days, that the lamb that they used for the Passover period, celebrating the Passover, remembering when God saved them from the arms of the Egyptians, when they were living in Egypt, and God wanted them to leave Egypt, God sent an angel through the whole of Egypt and killed the firstborn son of every Egyptian. But God chose to favor them by asking them to kill lambs and mark it on their doorpost. And as the angel goes through Egypt, when he sees that blood on their doorpost, he will go over that house and nobody in that house would die. And so that is what the Passover period is about. It is for remembering what God did during that period to save them and take them out of the hands of the Egyptians. And so they do that yearly. They come together to celebrate that period. But in Exodus, we understand that God told them that the lamb that they kill for this purpose has to be a lamb that stays with them for 3 days. 3 days. And so all the people going into Jerusalem with their lambs for the sacrifice and for the celebration would have been carrying their lambs that has been with them for 3 days. And so you can imagine so many lambs were being pulled into Jerusalem. Boyce, writing on this subject, quotes that Josephus is one of the researchers. Josephus says that in one celebration, roughly about 255,000 lambs are killed. Can you imagine? 255,000 lambs are killed. And so this was what they did every time that they went to celebrate. But this time, on this occasion, while all the lambs were being pulled, you can imagine, all of them entering into Jerusalem, going for their crucifixion, for their killing, the lamb of our Lord God, the Father himself, God knew that their celebration of the lamb that was being killed, the blood of the lamb, was not enough to make atonement for you and I. That the lamb of God also, while the human lambs were coming, the Father also, his lamb, being Jesus Christ, was also entering into Jerusalem. The master of all the lambs, the true lamb of God, was also entering. He himself being the greatest of the lambs, the greatest of all the lambs, being the Father's lamb, Jesus Christ, also entering into Jerusalem. I can even imagine, this is just my own thought, that even all the lambs who were crying, entering, knew that this is our Lord, this is the Lord of Lords. And so probably they were also bowing to him. I'm just joking. But the point here is that the Lamb of God, being Jesus Christ, was also now entering into Jerusalem. The Lamb was also entering. John 3:16 tells us that, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have an eternal life." Human beings were doing all sorts of things to begin to have a relationship with God. A relationship which was given to them in the Garden of Eden. Going all the way to the Garden of Eden. When God was relating with human beings, and Adam and Eve chose to sin against God by listening to Satan through a serpent, to sin against God, to eat of the fruit of good and of bad. And since then, sin became part of human beings. And we all see from the Garden of Eden that God told Adam and Eve to leave the garden. It brought enmity between God and human beings. And since that time, God had been finding ways, trying all he can to reconnect with human beings. Human beings had also been trying all they can to connect with God, but their doing was not enough. Even when God saved them from the arms of the Egyptians, he told them to create a sacrifice, and the sacrifice was going to be in the form of sheep and lambs, and they were killing a lot of lambs. Lambs and sheep was their livelihood. They would sacrifice these things just so they can appease the living God. But the living God knew that was not enough to begin a relationship with humankind. And so our living God loving us, as John 3:16 says, that he gave his only son, his only begotten son, his lamb, to be sacrificed forever, once and for all. And so today, Jesus going into Jerusalem to go face his sacrificial, his work on the cross, going to do that, is entering as God's lamb. And you and I can begin to now, as we look at this passage, begin to rejoice in our hearts that Jesus is the ultimate lamb that God has for you and I to be sacrificed, that by his death, you and I can begin to have a relationship with God. Jesus is the bridge. Jesus is the bridge between the I am God and humankind. It is not by any other way. It is not by any other sacrifice that anything on this earth has done for us. It is not by any worshiping person. It is not by any individual, but the Son of God, his name being Jesus, that was given to die for you and I. And so today there are so many religions that claim that they are also access to the supreme God, the triune God, the God the Father, the God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Other religions say they are the connection. But today I come to tell all of us, and today as we celebrate Palm Sunday, I want to remind us that the only way and the rightful way only to connect with the Father is through Jesus Christ. And he goes to face his accusers and to be killed for you and I. Glory to God. So they took palm branches. The passage says that they took branches of palm. The many people, the writer says, are a great multitude gathered. A great multitude. This gathering was done, and this was just so that, you know, in the olden days, the palm was a symbol of victory. When army leaders went to fight their battles and they were coming back, the palm was how they used to jubilate and celebrate and enjoy and sing songs in entering into the city, declaring their victory. And so when the people picked up palm branches to go through Jerusalem and facing Jesus, coming in front of Jesus, throwing their clothes on the floor, and Jesus walking and riding on it, they were making a statement. You see, for them, they were looking for their victory. For them, Jesus was the victorious one that they were looking for. They were looking for a victorious one that before Jesus came, and during that time of Jesus, they were under strong oppression by the Roman Empire. They were under suffering by the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire was controlling them. And so, as they saw Jesus entering, and they had heard news of how Jesus had raised the dead. Oh my days. If you're looking for someone to follow, if you're looking for someone to come fight and give you your political victory, let's say in this nation, we are looking for somebody to overthrow, a general to wage a coup against the government of this land. We are not going to go and look for some weak guy who cannot fight. We are not going to go and look for some guy who did not understand military rules and how to lead a battle. We will probably look for some serious generals, some serious mighty strong people, some serious soldiers to come, and we sit down and we plot a coup to overthrow the government, because it's going to be battle. You see, and for them, if somebody like Jesus can literally, after all his miracles that he had performed, be able to raise the dead from the dead, then in fact, this guy is the guy that can give us our political victory. So in their mind, this is the guy that is bringing us the kind of victory we are looking for. The victory that will set us free from the oppression of the Roman Empire. It was settled in their heart. And so they took palm branches and they started singing in front of our Lord Jesus. Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Child of God. It is true. Jesus was coming in the name of the Lord. Jesus was approaching in the name of the Lord. These people were quoting Psalm 118, 25 to 26. Quoting. And the meaning of Hosanna means save us now. For them, Jesus Christ, save us now from the political battle and struggle we are going through, from our economic struggles, from our oppression from the Roman Empire. That was what they were looking for. And you see, many of us may have heard the name of Jesus Christ, the mighty King of Kings, the healer. I see a lot of evangelists going around. They heal the sick, and the sick can talk, and the sick can live their life for Jesus. They talk in the name of God, and people who are under strong bondages are released. I have seen people who have been ministered by evangelists with their guns in their pockets, and they have taken out their guns and they've laid it down that I am not going to be a gangster no more. I am not going to go around murdering and killing anymore. We all might have seen so many miracles that have been happening, and I've heard testimonies of people who have been saved from sicknesses and diseases by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is true. These people were looking for their freedom. For them, it was political. They were under serious oppression by the Roman Empire. And you and I may probably have accepted Jesus Christ that he's a savior. Indeed, yes, Jesus is a savior. But maybe to save us from something. Maybe to save us from something. Maybe you have an illness that you need Jesus to set you free from. Your waist is hurting you. You need Jesus to heal you. There is a particular pain in your life that you need Jesus to heal, because you've heard that he is a healer. These people have heard that Jesus is a resurrector, someone that can raise the dead. And so they were now singing his praises. Save us now. You can liberate us from our political oppression. And many of us, like them, have heard that Jesus can do great things. And we have accepted Jesus for what he can do for us, but not really who he is. Jesus can heal me. Jesus can set me free from my poverty in my home. My bills will be paid if I come to Jesus. Everything will be perfect. I am probably going through some hustle at home, but if I accept Jesus, and many of us are looking up to Jesus for what he would do for us. Many are worshiping Jesus today for what Jesus can do for us. The bread that he can put on your table. But I'm here to tell you that Jesus, even though he was coming and entering into Jerusalem, he was coming. They didn't understand his lordship. He was indeed the Lord. He
was indeed the Lamb of God. He was indeed the one that was going to give them victory. But they did not understand that the victory was a spiritual victory and not a physical victory he was coming to give them. Not a political victory he was coming to give them, but a spiritual victory. And maybe you are seated here today, and for all your life, maybe for donkey years or many, many, so many years, you have been looking for this freedom that Jesus can give you. You have been worshiping Jesus. You have accepted Jesus. Indeed, that he is a Lord. He is a powerful God. He is a supreme God. But yet still, he has not healed you. So you cannot worship him the way you need him to. You need to worship. Yo, he has not healed your marriage problem. So you cannot worship him the way. I am here to tell you that is not what Jesus has come to die for. Jesus first wants to connect you with the Father. We come to the Father through Jesus Christ. And when we have come, the word of God says, seek first the kingdom of heaven and all its righteousness, and the rest shall be added to you. We come to Jesus because he is our Savior, our spiritual Savior, our connector to the Father. And then when we have accepted him like that, he will begin to do some marvelous things in our life. And so what marvel are you looking for? I want to encourage you, search your heart and ask yourself, is Jesus my Savior? Is Jesus my connector to the Father? Am I loving something better than Jesus? Why do I even say Jesus is the Lord? Why do I accept him as my Lord? Why do I relate with him? You see, when you begin to reflect on your life like this, you will begin appreciate who Jesus is. You will begin to. And which is why this whole week we are fasting and praying. The fasting is not so that we can harm our body and show that we are also some spiritual gurus. No. In this week, we are setting it aside. The word for this week is called Holy Week. A week where we used to reflect on our personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. Where Jesus is in our journey. What we are doing. How we are living our life. This week of fasting, that is what it is for. For you to begin to put aside everything and really begin to ask yourself, how important is Jesus is to me? What role does he play in my life? Is he really my God? Is he really my Lord? If he's this powerful God, why am I calling on him? Am I calling on him to save me from something? Or I'm calling on him because I want him as my Lord. Or I need him as my Lord. It is a time of searching our heart. And so this week of prayer and fasting, I want to encourage you. Begin to reflect on Jesus for who he is. He is indeed the Lamb of the Father. He is indeed come to die for you and I. It is not enough to be going around proclaiming these things, and in our hearts, we are far away from him. So this week, take some time and search him. Search your heart. Search your heart. They were singing, Hosanna, Hosanna, save me now, save us now. But they had their own agenda. 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 God has sent Jesus to come and die for you and I. Not for our own agendas, but by his own agenda. So begin to ask yourself, what has God died for? What has Jesus died for? If you don't know, begin to take the Bible and begin to read it. You can start from John chapter 1 and begin in this week of prayer and fasting. You know, fasting just allows you to put aside everything. Put aside everything that is distraction to your relationship with God. so that you can really begin to search God's word and search your heart and really open up to him and exalt him and pray and to seek him. And so in this time of fasting and prayer, begin to take the scriptures and begin to read the scriptures and begin to have an understanding, an idea of who Jesus is and why he came to die. And begin to accept him for who he is, not by your own agenda. You see, Jesus came to die that you and I will be set free. Jesus wants to give us everything we hope for. The word of God says that he grants the desires of our hearts. But that desire must be in his will. And it is not why he came to die for you. He first came to die that you begin to have a personal relationship with the Father. Then he would do everything else for you. And so when you read 17 to 19, the crowds come after Jesus to the dismay of the leaders. When you read 17 to 19, it says, therefore, the people who were with him when he called Lazarus out of his tomb and raised him from the dead bore witness. For this reason, the people also met him because they heard that he had done this sign. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, you see that you are accomplishing nothing. Look, the world has gone after him. For this reason, the people also met him because they had heard he had done this sign. The signs are not what you should be looking for. People during that time got into conversation with Jesus and they asked him, show us a sign that you are the Messiah. And the Lord said, it is not the time to show signs. You ungodly generation. And many of us are following signs. Today, this person can do this for me. Tomorrow, that person can do this. Oh, today, this person is this. Today, we have become these Christians who are not stable in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we have heard a testimony somewhere. The testimonies are good. They are supposed to build and strengthen us in our faith and in our relationship with the Lord Jesus. But the fact that Jesus can do that for you doesn't mean you should seek him for that. You should seek him for who he is. And he is our savior. First, from the power of sin, he is our savior. And so whatever life you are living that does not honor our Lord Jesus Christ, whatever life you are living that is not in alignment with God's word, you can now begin to ask him for forgiveness and ask him to help you to live for him. Our Lord Jesus loves you and I so much that when we do this, he will be glad to save us. Jesus, have mercy on us. In this time, Lord God, as we seek you, we pray that you will open our eyes. You will really expose ourselves to you. Help us to see you in your light of who you are, that we may live for you. Child of God, it is my prayer that you and I will begin this intimate and passionate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Not based on the things that he would do for us, even though those are things that he would do anyway. That is not why you should seek him. You should seek him because he is the Lord of Lords. He is the God of Gods. And he is the Son of God that loved you and I, that came to die for you and I. So begin to live for the Lord Jesus. Begin to give yourself as a sacrifice to him. Begin to allow him to bring the best out of you. You can be transformed, I'm telling you. Wherever you are, whatever belief you are, whatever circumstance you are in, the Lord Jesus can take you from that position to a better position. But you first need to accept him as your savior. As your savior. As your savior. The word of God says, for this reason the Son of God was made manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. The devil has many of us gripped in situations and circumstances that we can't seem to let go. This is the time to really begin to reflect upon your life and ask yourself where your relationship is with the Lord Jesus. And if you can really begin to accept him as your Lord, you can really begin to accept him as your Savior. He is also willing to begin this journey of transforming you. He will make you a better person. He will make you a better person. So, when people now were giving testimonies of who Jesus is, and the whole crowd making noise and accepting him as their savior, save us now, save the whole town. There was, imagine Kearney, everybody, everywhere, people running, hey, making noise. Hey, Jesus is here, the savior is here. Hey, people are running. People, probably the drummers are also drumming. Hey, Jesus is here. Hey. Jesus is here. But Jesus, after all his greatness and all that, he's here raising the dead and all that. The writer says he laid hold of a donkey. He laid hold of a donkey. And the other writers of this story tells us that he literally sent for the donkey to be brought to him. And he enters into Jerusalem on a donkey. You see, this has a lot to tell us about the Lord. Two main things stand out by this symbol. The donkey was an animal that was, in some sense, you can say stupid. Everybody treated the donkey the way they wanted to treat the donkey. The donkey was a symbol of humility. The donkey will do anything you tell it to do. The donkey will carry any load you put on the donkey. And in those times, priests and merchants and travelers used donkeys a lot, because horses were very expensive. And it was the rich and the people, the powerful people, that rode on horses. But in the case of Jesus, this is our King of Kings, our Lord of Lords, entering into Jerusalem, and he chooses to come on a donkey. I mean, I can imagine the Roman Empire laughing. Look at them. They are calling their king, their king. The guy is coming on a donkey. What power and authority does he carry to fight against us? We have an army. We have horses, dangerous horses. We have horses that run for miles, chariots. We have swords. We have arrows and pins to fight. But yet still, these people are singing praises and dancing and jubilating for this guy who is coming with 12 people, who is coming on a donkey. What does he have to offer these people? I can imagine the Roman Empire laughing. But it tells us something about our Savior. This man was coming humbly to face his death. You and I can learn from this king, this Lord. You see, most of America's problems today is pride. The word of God in James says, humble yourself to God and God will lift you up. Jesus was coming in the most humblest way. He was coming trying to send a message that the kind of victory I am coming to win is not the victory you are looking for. But yet still, the people did not reflect on this thing. In their mind, this is the guy that can come and fight and liberate us from the Roman Empire. child of God. Our Lord is so humble. He's so peaceful. He's sending a message of peace. Our Lord is a Lord of peace. And he came to appease the Father. And everything he has done is just so that you and I will have peace with the Father. Child of God, begin to learn from the Lord and humble yourself first to God. Humble yourself to God. Jesus is about peace. Christianity must be about peace. Let us not use the word of God to chastise and to destroy each other. Christianity doesn't carry that message. Christianity is about hope. Christianity is about revival. Christianity is about re-empowering. Christianity is about bringing the best within you, not the worst out of you. Jesus is the King of Peace, the Lord of Lords. And so what peace is not in your life? What peace is not in your life? Jesus has come to die to give you peace. You and I to have peace. And so if you are battling with anything, it is time for you to begin to really humble yourself to Jesus and say, Lord, I need you in my life. James tells us to resist Satan and he will flee from us. He says, submit yourself to the law. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. It is time for you and I to submit to the Lord Jesus Christ. Humble yourself to the Lord Jesus and let his peace begin to move in your life. Begin to do things in your life. Begin to win the sort of victory you are looking for in our world today. And when people were jubilating and going on singing and dancing, Hosanna, 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 his enemies said, look, the world has gone after him. The popularity of Jesus was offensive to his enemies. It made them feel that they were accomplishing nothing. It makes us happy to see the enemies of Jesus frustrated. Child of God, look at what the Lord Jesus is doing in our world today. Jesus is winning, has won the victory already, gone to Calvary Cross to die. And every time his name is mentioned, there is victory. His enemies are never happy to hear the victory that the church has. You and I will become symbol of mockery. You and I will become symbol of hate. You and I will become symbol of undermining and whatever you can imagine that people can treat you. It is true, because there are people who are not for what we stand for. But this should we should have this kind of jubilation in our heart that Jesus has indeed won us victory. Not just won us victory from the arms of the enemy, but indeed the church is still growing. And we can, if we open ourselves to him and allow him, we can also grow on all levels. The world will accept Jesus Christ. We don't have to give up. Begin to believe in his name, in his power, in his authority. Accept him as your savior. Live for him. Honor him. And see the world coming to Jesus through him. Carry the message across. His enemies were not happy. Me and you, we should jubilate. You and I, we should dance. That's why when I come here, I dance. It is only here that and in my house, obviously, my house, I do some serious dancings. Let the name of Jesus bring you joy, because he has won for us. He's victorious, and his enemies even know. The word of God now says, you see, at that time, Jesus had not even gone to the cross. And yet still by his signs, people were following him. Now, you and I, can see the exalted Jesus. The word of God says, at the mention of his name, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. Child of God, let us pray.